If you've ever taken the time to read the story, Jacob never goes up the ladder. He never goes down the ladder. He never even gets on the ladder. He just sees angels going up and down the ladder because escalators hadn't been invented yet. And so they have to... You all didn't know that? No, escalators got invented much later. They weren't invented back in Genesis time. And anyways, so he sees this going on, and it isn't Jacob's ladder. It's God's ladder. Which is why they're having this wrestling match, because God wants his ladder back. Because Jacob stole it. I could be wrong about that. It's possible. But now some songs do make sense about Jacob. Sade, you ever hear the group Sade back in the 80s? Smooth operator. All right. That I think that's their best song. Okay. I mean, you hear that song, you know, even if you're limping, you can dance to that. That's, you know, and that song really is about Jacob. Okay? Cuz you might remember back in Genesis 27, Jacob is getting ready to steal. Remember, he's going to trick his dad. He wants to trick his dad into stealing Esau's birthright, and so he does that, and he's concerned because Esau is hairy and Jacob is not. The Bible says Jacob is smooth. And it's not just his skin that's smooth. It's his talking that is also smooth. Because if you know anything about Jacob, he is a lying, deceitful, scoundrel, scalawag type of guy. He's just like a smooth operator. All right? He is a man who is slick. And so then I was thinking, okay, well, then maybe I should come up with a song. You know, because you know me and my musical talents, all right? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not aware of any songs that talk about God and Jacob wrestling. And a lot of people have heard that story. And so I'm not going to sing. This is a working title, though. The Rumble at the Brook of Jabbok by a Crook Who Snook and Took God's Ladder. What do you think? It's a little bit long, though, isn't it? I know it's a little bit. It could be too long. All right, but now you're thinking about titles. You're thinking, Don, you know, put a seatbelt on. Could you please just stay in? Titles, sermon title. You see the sermon title? Did you see the sermon title? That's not really the kind of sermon title you expect from me, is it? How to Fight God and Win? That kind of sounds like a prosperity gospel preacher type who is selling CDs and DVDs and things like that. That doesn't sound like me. I mean, really, look at me. Look at this physique. Look at this body. Does this look like a fighter? The strongest thing about this body is body odor, okay? I mean... Let's be honest here. I'm not beating up anybody, okay? Nothing. I got no... When Andreas was in first grade, I'd go in his room, tell him he needed to clean his room. He would pick me up, carry me into the family room and tell Diana, Dad's annoying me again, all right? I mean, I got... And you're like, how are you going to tell us to fight God, Don? How are you going to tell us to fight God and win? But now Jacob is strong. If you've read Genesis 27, 20, you read chapter 29, and there's Jacob, all right? And he moves a stone off of a well that normally, according to the Bible, takes 10 to 12 men to move that stone. Jacob does it by himself. And now we hear, here's Jacob, and he is wrestling God. I want you to think about that for a minute. He is wrestling with God. If you've ever read the Bible, then you know he is the only person to fight God. And I'm not talking about a staring contest. You know how they have those staring contests in that when you were going? No, it's not a staring contest. It's not an argument. It is a physical confrontation. And Jacob's the only one who took on God one-on-one in a physical confrontation. And having that wrestling match, but I want to remind ourselves again. Now remember, Jacob is also a trickster. In fact, he's probably one of the greatest tricksters in the Bible. He's a hustler. He's a smooth operator. He's all that. He cheats his brother out of the inheritance, and yet somehow, he remains this likable rogue. You know, he's kind of like Han Solo like. You know, have you ever watched Star Wars with Han Solo and that? You know, and it's very evident if you read the Bible that God has great plans for Jacob, which is why God has told Jacob, and if you read the Bible, you know, it's time for you to go home. You've been on the run for 20 years. I need you to come back. Now, this is not the best news for Jacob. Jacob doesn't want to hear that he has to go back. Jacob doesn't want to hear. He doesn't want to go on to this journey because Jacob is convinced that his brother Esau is going to take violent revenge upon him because of what he has done. And at the beginning of the chapter, again, if you read the beginning of chapter 32, you're going to find out. It kind of looks like that's what's going to happen. Esau, here's Jacob is getting ready to come. And you know what Esau does? 400 fighting men. Gets them together. Wants to be able to welcome his brother. Because they're going to have his family reunion. Howard just had a nice big family reunion. I bet you there were not 400 fighting. We're not talking about grandmother's types and great auntie types. 400 fighting men are getting ready to meet Jacob, and Jacob's like, I'm not sure this is a good idea. I'm not sure this is something I want to do. I'm just not there. So now we're back to the wrestling match. I'm sure you saw it on the screen. You've read it in verse 25. Notice, when he saw that he did not prevail over Jacob. Let that sink in. When he saw that he did not prevail over Jacob. So wait. God couldn't win a wrestling match with Jacob? God, big, awesome, strong, creator of the universe, God. It seems a bit unlikely, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You ever, kind of like a parent. You know, a parent will wrestle with a kid sometimes, you know, and when they're young, with Andreas, he was like 3 months old. After that, I had no chance. But you're wrestling with them, and you give them a chance, and you're giving them that kind of an opportunity, and all of a sudden, maybe you're thinking, okay, well, that's what's going on here. Sounds like God's kind of throwing the fight like a parent would, but God keeps the fight going. God never stops. And if you notice, Jacob keeps on going. Jacob never stops. Jacob doesn't cry uncle even when his thigh is put out of place. Jacob doesn't surrender. Jacob doesn't quit. Jacob doesn't give up. Even with the hip out of joint and all that pain, and they've been fighting all night, and you know he has to be tired, and still, Jacob will not quit. God knew the strength of Jacob. But God wanted Jacob to know Jacob's strength. God wanted Jacob to know that he was strong enough, determined enough, persistent enough to be able to claim and to carry the promise that God has for him. You see, that's why he had Jacob come. He says, Jacob, I got a gift for you. I have a gift for you. I need you to come back. I need you to claim the gift and the promise that I have for you. And you're going to have to cross a brook. You're going to have to come into, of all things, the promised land. God has a gift. And it's not only for Jacob, it's for the whole nation of Israel. The whole nation. And it's kind of like the same thing for us sometimes when we're struggling with God. The way you come out of a struggle with God, the way you end up blessed in a struggle with God, is to stay engaged with God. Jacob never quit. He never stopped. You pray and you pray and you pray. Jesus prayed until he was bleeding. There are times when you will knock on that door, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be opened to you. And sometimes you're knocking until your knuckles bleed. But you don't quit. You stay engaged. Continue to be involved. Continue, even if it is a struggle. And remember, this whole thing is God's idea. It's God's idea for Jacob to come. It's God's idea for Jacob to travel from where he's been, from his past, to his promise. It's God's idea to wrestle Jacob. Jacob didn't pick that fight. God did. Because God knew that struggle leads to transformation. Cocoon. Caterpillar. Struggles to open the cocoon in order to become the butterfly. Without that struggle, the wings never develop, and it will never be able to fly. It's the struggle that leads to the transformation. God has a gift. God wants to transform Jacob. He wants to redeem Jacob. He wants to give Jacob a future. And again, this isn't Jacob's idea. Jacob isn't saying, oh, I wish I could be transformed. Oh, I wish I could be a butterfly. Oh, I would. No, no. This is all thrust upon him. This is God's idea. God's calling Jacob to this new future. And here it is for us. God is calling us. God is calling each one of us to a new future. God calls us to new possibilities. And yes, it is a struggle, but we don't give up. We don't give in. We don't quit. And we don't let go. We hold on. And we hold on to God. And we hold on to God's promises. God is the one who blesses us. And then through God, God uses us to be a blessing to others. That's how this works. There's a new school year that is beginning, and some people are going to be going off to college for the first time. I don't know why. No need to be going away anywhere. There's plenty of educational opportunities right here, but that's not the way that works, is it? No, they're going off to college for the first time. Some are going to be living on their own for the first time, all right? So we got that going on. And some will be living in an empty nest for the first time in a long time. There are new things going on. See, the thing is, we can't move forward to the future that God is calling us to if we stay where we are. We can't stay in the past. We can't stay where we are. We've got to be able to move forward. And we can't become the people God is molding us to be and shaping us to be if we continue to stay the same. Remember, this is not a one-and-done God. God is always working in our lives. God not only redeems us, God transforms us. God helps us to grow and to mature and to develop. We are not born as adults. Have you noticed that? We're not born as adults. We grow, we evolve, we learn, we develop. That's the way that works. That's the way we become. We don't go to school and we already know everything. We go to school so that we can learn, and then the teachers say, all kinds of things begin to happen, and we go there to be taught. We go into our marriages and we don't already know everything we need to know to be a good and loving, supportive spouse. It's a growing and developing, and we learn. We become parents. We don't know everything. We did until that first night. And then pretty much after the first night, we didn't know anything anymore. Why is it crying? I don't understand. Sarah, you take it. No, I had it last time. It's your turn to take it. It doesn't need change. Well, maybe it's hungry. It's not eating either. What is it, sick? Take a tip. We don't know what we're doing here. We learn. We grow. We develop. God is working in us and through us. God has plans for you. God has plans for all of us. God has plans for this church. for this church, people, God has plans. There are people who need to be blessed. And God is calling us and transforming us to be those instruments of God's grace that can be a blessing, not just for ourselves, but for others, for our community, for our country, for the world, for all of creation. We can't move forward to our future if we're just going to keep hanging out in the past. It doesn't work that way. God calls us to new possibilities. God calls us to a promise that He has already laid out for us. He's just waiting for us to claim it. He's asking us, He's begging us, calling us, claim it. Engage in the struggle. No, it's not easy. It's not called the easy land. It's called the promised land, and it involves struggle, and we will learn. And what does Israel mean? It means to strive with God. You're going to have struggles. It's not easy street. But it's a street that God calls us to. It's a plan that God has for us. We can't be moving into that future if we're going to keep staying in the past. God calls us. God has a gift for us. But we have to be willing to let the past go. We have to be willing to move forward. The sermon title is How to Fight God and Win. But that does not mean that God is our opponent. That does not mean that God is against us. We don't win against God. We win with God. That's how we win. God is with us. God is our partner. God is the one who is calling us. God is for us. And that makes all the difference in the world. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's hard. Yes, we're going to get tired. Yes, we're going to be wounded. Yes, we're going to be weary. But what will never, ever, ever happen is we are never, ever going to be alone. God is with us. God is calling us. God says, I've got a great promise for you. I've got a great future plan for you. I've got all kinds of possibilities. And here it is. There's a whole new land waiting for you to explore. There's a whole new people who need to know of my love and my grace. There is a whole new future. I am calling you for it. I am engaged with you for it. I will bless you, that you can be that blessing for others. How to fight and win. We do it with God. Amen. Our offertory communion hymn is Open My Eyes That I May See.